Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of. Welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. So honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heighten your awareness of His very real presence in your life. And I just want to say to you about today's show, buckle up, baby, because you are about to be awakened. I believe it with my whole heart. In fact, the book we're talking about, this is one of those books that I think could inspire a personal revival in your heart. We only have 3 copies to give away. I'm actually going to reach out and see if we can get a few more because I want as many people to have one as possible. The title of the book we're exploring today is titled Encountering Our Wild God, Ways to Experience His Untamable Presence Every Day by Kim Meador. She writes this, who our God is, and how He works cannot be captured or contained. He is unstoppable, unfathomable, and untamable. He's wild, and He's beckoning us to pursue Him beyond our circumstances, beyond our emotions, and beyond our logic into the glorious mystery that is Him. As I said, her book is titled Encountering Our Wild God, 3 copies, and I am going to reach out to see if we can get a handful more. But you know the drill. If you listen often enough, you can text to get in on the drawing with your address, 877-933-2484, or you can email middays@myfaithradio.com. Just going to have to trust me on this. You're going to want this book. A quick announcement. We are excited. Our writers' conference is just around the bend. So excited about this. I'll be serving on the faculty. I'd love to meet you face to face. If you even have the slightest desire or question about, do I pursue publishing? Do I want to get into this industry and this ministry? Would you please join us? Gary Thomas is one of our keynotes. Robin Jones Gunn is another one of our keynotes. She's a fiction, best-selling fiction author. Hallmark is turning her books into movies, and Gary's just one of those deeper life authors. Those guys are our keynotes, but then we've got editors, agents, and experts doing workshops, and then just opportunities to meet with them face-to-face. It's going to be epic. Coming up July 12th and 13th, you can find more information on our website at myfaithradio.com. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Kim Meador is a best-selling author whose humanitarian work has garnered national acclaim. She's also the co-founder of Crystal Peaks, a youth ranch. She and her husband, Troy, have helped establish over 200 similar ministries worldwide. They enjoy wilderness adventuring, and they live in Bend, Oregon. And she's a sister of my heart already. Dear Kim, so good to meet you. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Susie. It's just wonderful to get a chance to be together today.
Looking forward to the conversation. And we love to start every day, Kim, talking scripture. And I know you're a woman of God's word. Is there a verse you've been thinking about these days you can share with us?
Oh, man, there's so many. And just pondering this, I just have to go to Acts 20:24, and it just says this, my life is worth nothing. It's worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. We have a job to do. Each one of us that is alive and upright and breathing today and calls Jesus Christ your Lord, we have a calling, and that is to share the hope that Jesus has placed in your life. In your way, no one can share His hope, what Jesus has done for you, but you. And your testimony matters in this world. I'm thinking also now, I'm just skipping ahead to Revelations 12, 10, and 11. And it says this, that Satan basically, here's the paraphrase, is already defeated. It's already happened. He's already defeated because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And because you who are listening today are sharing what Jesus has done for you. Your testimony, your story is always true. And it has power to stop the enemy and to draw the broken and the hopeless and the lost into the saving hope of Jesus' love. Friends, that is your calling. Just tell others what Jesus has done for you.
Amen, amen. Well, Kim, your story's not been an easy one. If you don't mind, as much as you're comfortable, would you give us a little backstory on your faith journey, some of your childhood experiences?
You know, Susie, everyone comes to the saving grace of Jesus Christ in their own unique way. Everyone comes from somewhere. Everyone's been through something. And what I love about that is the power of God's word is always true. It doesn't matter how we feel. It only matters what is true. And I'm thinking right now, 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4, that says, don't you know that God is going to comfort you in your time of need, so when others go through something similar, you can give them that comfort. Your pain has a purpose. Every minute of what you suffer, every minute of what you experience, when you give it to God, it has a purpose. Let me tell you what I mean. I came to know the Lord when I was 9 years old, and at 9 years of age, oh my gosh, I wanted to be just like my mom, and my dad was, in my mind, just a wild child of the wilderness. And there, he was a downhill ski instructor, and we lived by a lake, and we water skied every night. And I learned how to, I climbed mountains when I was 5 years old, hanging onto his pants pockets. And in my mind, there was nothing my dad couldn't do. I was sure he just wore a cape and could fly. And it was in that season of my life that my dad's best friend came to my little school, picked me up, gathered my two older sisters, and we started to drive in silence. No one would speak. And I just had this choking feeling that something horrible has happened and no one will tell me what it is. And I just remember sitting there, I couldn't breathe, I couldn't speak. And we just drove this familiar road to my grandparents' house. And as we drove down their long driveway, there were cars parked in all disarray. And as I got out of the car, I could just feel these waves of grief coming from the house. And for the first time in my young life, I did not want to go into a home where I only ever felt love, because I was afraid. And I was just taken by my shoulders and pushed into the door, and the house was full of all these grieving, wailing people. And I was pushed into the arms of this woman that I recognized. I didn't know her name, and she was crying so hard that she sounded like she was choking, and she just kept going around and around in this sickening vortex of, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I don't know how to tell you, I don't know how to tell you, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I don't know what to say, I'm sorry, your dad's just murdered your mother and taken his own life, and I'm so sorry. And I remember looking at her and thinking, wait a minute, my dad loves my mom and he loves me and he would never do that. You're a liar. And I just broke out of her arms and ran out the back door and just ran and ran and ran in this child's effort to just outrun the unthinkable, and just ran until there was nothing left. And I fell down in the dirt and could hear what I thought were animal sounds. And I didn't even recognize the sound of my own voice as I'm inhaling dirt and gagging and choking and screaming and retching. And I could hear my voice start to say, Jesus, help me. Help me. I need you now. Jesus, I need you now. And Susie, I wasn't raised in the church. I'd only been to church maybe twice in my young life. I didn't even know who Jesus was.
Wow.
All I knew is that I think he's the guy on the cross. And I didn't know the power of Romans chapter 1 that says, within every human heart, there is a place that searches for God to fill. I didn't know that in Romans 10:13, it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I didn't know any of that. I just knew that that was the only place I could turn, was to the one that made the heart. And all I knew in that moment is that I could feel a pop inside my heart, an ignition of hope, and this little flame, a tiny little flame in the utter crushing darkness. And I had a sense that somehow you will survive this. You will make it. And beloved, you are no longer alone. And that's all I knew. I didn't know anything. I didn't even own a Bible. I didn't know anything. And that is how the author of hope came into this wild child's life. I officially received the Lord a year later in a little neighborhood Bible study by a woman who had nothing, but she had everything because she had the love and hope of Jesus Christ, and she gave it freely. And that started this wild child's feet on the path of hope in the author of hope, Jesus Christ.
Mm. Wow, Kim. I'm so sorry for what you've walked through, and I look at how God has taken what the enemy has meant for utter destruction and evil and turned it for good. And friends, when you hear the ministry that has come out of Kim's and her husband Troy's lives, you'll be blown away. Before I move on from this story, if it's okay to ask, and if not, please say so, but did you ever find the motivation for what happened with your dad and why he snapped?
I did. My dad, I learned many, many years later when I was in college taking psychology classes that my dad was bipolar. And I'm reading these symptoms and just checking the boxes. Oh, my goodness, this was my home. This was my home, and this is how I grew up. And that my dad sought help he was not able to find. And he was in trouble. And no amount of talking was going to fix what was broken in him. He needed the healing grace of Jesus Christ to heal his broken brain and to heal his broken heart. My mother, in order to protect us three girls from his progressing symptoms, made the decision to leave him and to file for a divorce. And she knew that that decision would end her life. And because she had the love of a mother, she stood in that fire and said, I will take literally that bullet for my girls, that they will be safe and they will know the hope of Jesus, because she knew Jesus. And that's exactly what happened. And she knew it. But that is the love that drives mothers to protect their children. And now this child is safe and knows the hope of Jesus Christ and has the profound honor and privilege to share that hope everywhere that the door is open.
You know, I would just marvel, I'm sure, if I could have been a little fly on the wall of the prayers of your mama's heart leading up to that day, interceding for her daughters. You know, I mean, that God had gone ahead, your mom's prayers had gone ahead, and you literally running out the back of your house and being met by the presence of God the way that you were. You're such a loved girl. Your daughter, your sisters are so loved. And as terrible as that tragedy was, God met you. We're going to pause here. When we come back, I want you to talk about the time that you brought some women across this raging, raging waterfall river on a swinging bridge so that they could see the beauty, not only of the waterfall beneath their feet, but what was waiting for them on the other side. And just the analogy for us of experiencing our wild God. Talking to Kim Meador, I'm telling you, this book will spark a revival in your life. Encountering Our Wild God. It is a wild book, I'm telling you. Ways to experience His untamable presence every day. This is one I'm going to read cover to cover. Text or email if you want in on the drawing. Text your address, 877-933-2484. Also, if you've got a question, comment, you can include that as well. Or email middays at myfaithradio.com. It's going to be a great show. Hang with us. More with Kim Meador in a moment. So much for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. I'm talking to Kim Meador about her amazing book, Encountering Our Wild God. It's a perfect title for this book. Many amazing stories of just being led by the Spirit, seeing God go ahead and move before Kim in and through her. Subtitle is Ways to Experience His Untamable Presence Every Day. We've got three copies. They said I'm going to request a few more, see if we can get a good handful out in the mail. Text or email if you want in on the drawing, 877-933-2484, or email middays at myfaithradio.com. So, Kim, you were talking in the book about how you brought these women on this adventure, this moving, swinging bridge on cables. Below it was this raging waterfall. Talk about just that whole idea of what that was like for some women and your whole purpose in doing so.
Absolutely. I love that Jesus spoke in parables to take something that we could see to illustrate something that we cannot see yet with our eyes. And I'm a super visual learner. And so I love that he did that because then I get it. If I can see it, then I understand. And so I took, actually, it was my women's staff from here at the ranch. And we went in, we live in the Pacific Northwest, and it's beautiful beyond words. And we hiked in through this lush rainforest to a very special place. And this special place, it's to a huge, raging waterfall. You can feel it in your chest before you approach. It's just big and powerful. But you cannot see it until you walk across a suspension bridge that's hanging by cables over 100 feet above the river and chasm below. And only when you walk out onto this swaying bridge can you then turn around and see the full glory of this waterfall. And because it's a suspension bridge, it has motion. And to watch these women experience, this is exactly what it means to trust God. Just walk. And some are running and they're trying to sway it, make it as move as they can, move to make the bridge move as much as they can. And others are crawling, literally on their hands and knees, crawling. And the glory is that they each met him in their own unique, beautiful way. And we ended up crossing this bridge and hiking all the way down into the floor of the canyon and going out on some rock out into the river. And in seriously 15 seconds, we were soaked through every alleged waterproof clothing piece we had. And this is what God is calling from each of us. Do you trust me enough to walk out into that seemingly swaying, it feels unstable to your humanity and your sense of logic and your education and your emotions? Do you trust me more to move beyond what you understand in your humanity into the glorious mystery that is me, and to be so close to my presence that you are soaked all the way through with my presence, and you literally feel the thundering roar of my heartbeat inside you? Beloved, I'm calling you to experience me like this, but it all begins with you trusting to walk into what for you will feel unknown. One of my all-time favorite quotes outside the Bible was from an African pastor who I desperately hope to meet someday. And he simply says this about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God. And he says, the Spirit of God is like a great, mighty river. You do not tell the river where to flow. Don't. Instead, you jump in and you go where he takes you.
Come on.
What leads us into the depth of presence in the God that we claim we serve. Amen. Is to just jump into his presence and go where he wants to go. And that's when we see the glorious outpouring of his miraculousness in our presence.
This is what you write. This is from that book, you guys, Encountering Our Wild God. God's plan was never for us to observe him from a safe distance, tucked away in a dry, comfortable place. Listen, he's not looking for spiritual tourists. Not only does God want us to know about him, he desires for us to want to experience him, to be soaked all the way through by his presence, to move so close to him that we feel the vibration of his heart beating within our own. You know, he wants to lead us across those bridges, you say, of our own understanding into this mystery. I'm thinking of somebody who's listening going, how do I get there? What are some of the first steps that I take to be soaked like that?
I got to just be honest. I have lived so much of my Christian life on autopilot. I know how to run a ranch. I know how to run a ministry. I know how to run a household. I know how to be a wife and a friend and a teacher, blah, blah, blah. Oh, wait, here's the spiritual part. I better pray about that. And the Lord in his kindness has let me know, beloved, every moment that you're breathing, that's the spiritual part. That's the part that I want you to pursue me in. And I am so not a formulaic woman because the Holy Spirit doesn't move in formula. This is the only formula you will ever hear from me. You want to know God's will for your life? Ask Him. Ask the only one who knows the way. You pray, you listen, and you do what He says. And when we do that, we follow the only one who knows the way. And this simple pray, listen, do, is transforming this wild child's life to follow the only one who knows the way. And I'm embarrassed to tell you how long it has taken me to trust Him in this way. And just by asking Him, everything is changing. Recently, I was teaching a huge women's conference, and in between, these women are all gathered around, and this lady runs up, and she's out of breath, and she reaches over everyone and says, "My friend doesn't think she can come today. Can you sign her book?" And I took the book, and the Holy Spirit highlighted this woman. And as I started to write in it, I was just stopped by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And this is my all-time favorite prayer: Holy Spirit, lead me. And Susie, I got to tell you, what I started to write in this book was the dumbest, most gag-atrocious greeting card poem. It was awful.
I can read it if you want.
Oh, it's terrible. This woman I've never met, and I'm writing, "I love you more than all the stars in the sky. I love you more than all the sand in the sea. All this love joined together. It's the love we share, you and me." It was like, oh my goodness, Lord, I'm going to barf in my mouth a little bit. This is terrible. And I, God bless, here's some verses to encourage you. I hand it to the woman. She grabs it, and I hold on to the book like, I can still rip out that page. And she dashes away. And my first thought was, oh no, God, I've just made such a fool out of both of us. And He's such a loving Father. And I could just sense Him saying, "You know what? I'm God. You can't make a fool out of me. How about if you just own your pride?" Dang it, it's still there. And so confessing my pride in my heart in front of all these women, and the conference goes, it's awesome, it ends. And at the end of the day, there's a sweet line of women, and it's long, and I'm hugging and kissing and praying and signing. And there's a woman at the very end. The line curves to the left. She's at the very end. And from my distance, I can see she is destroyed. She's shivering and crying. Her face is wet. Her shirt's wet. I point at her over all the people. "I see you. Don't go." And she just gives this haggard nod. And it took me about an hour to get through all the people. And finally, she walks up. She has her fists really tight under her chin. She's got full rolling body tremors. And that's when I could see she was holding a book to her chest.
And I have to stop here. I have to stop here. Heartbreak. This is, you got to hear the rest of this story. You got to hear the rest of the story. Talking to Kim Meador, her book is Encountering Our Wild God. This was a full circle moment Kim's about to describe. Don't go away. More great conversation when we return. God is untamable, unfathomable. No matter how long you've walked with Him, it's like you hold a Dixie cup and the ocean remains. There's so much more of God to experience. It's one of the reasons that I get out of bed every day and show up to do this show. I want so much for you to awaken to His presence, to awaken to the depths of His love for you, because you will live bold and fearless if you get even a tiny glimpse of how for you He is. I'm talking to Kim Meador today, and I'm telling you, I read a lot of books. You know that if you listen to my show. And this is one of those books I'm telling you will inspire and spark a personal revival. I love this book, Encountering Our Wild God, Ways to Experience His Untamable Presence Every Day. I just emailed her publicist, because we share the same publicist, I'm asking for a handful more copies. We've got a few to give away. You can get in the drawing this way, text or email. Text 877-933-2484. Don't forget your mailing address or email, middays@myfaithradio.com. So I hated to cut you off. That was a hard break, so there was no way around it, Kim. So we have to reset for those who maybe popped in the car. You're at a speaking event. This woman is in this line, kind of kind of pushing her way through, going out of breath. You've got to sign this book for a friend who may not be able to make it today or whatever. And you write this poem and you're totally doubting yourself. Take the story to that point. Take us to that point in the story.
Oh, I wrote the most dumb poem that's probably ever been written in the history of greeting card poems. And I thought it was terrible and ended up sending this off to a woman that I've never met, promising never ending love and being together forever. And so as I finished the women's retreat and was kind of working through the line, I saw this woman at the very end of the line. And as I said before the break, she was just destroyed, crying so hard, full body tremors, and just her face is wet, her shirt's wet, and she's got her hands up under her chin, just shaking. And when I finally got through the line, she was the very last person. She stood in front of me. She stepped forward after the next lady had left. And that's when I could see she was holding a book to her chest. And she tried to speak a couple times, and these huge, heavy tears just went down her face. And finally, all she could do was open the book and point at what was written. And it was the Gagatrocious poem book. And I'm thinking, yeah, it really was that bad. It made me cry a little, too. And in my I can't believe that this is making you cry. And finally, when she could gather herself enough to speak, she starts pointing at it. And then what comes out of her mouth was this. She just said, "Kim, how did you know? How did you know? You could not know this. How did you know? This is what my mother used to pray over me every night when I was a little girl. And my mom just died, and I'm so lost without her. And I've been begging Jesus, if you're real and you care for me, will you show me in a way that I know that you see me and you see my pain and that I could trust you? And now I know I can." People, if you want to know God's best path for you, ask the one who knows. Pray. Listen to what he says and just do it. Walk through your pride, walk through your fear, walk through your complacency, walk through your crazy need to be in control, and trust the only one who knows the way. And this is where you and I will experience the supernatural wonder that is walking hand in hand with our God.
Ken,
we pray.
Amen. Would you say that the more often that you respond to the nudge of the Spirit within you, the more clarity you have in hearing him? I think sometimes we're waiting for a banner in the sky, but it seems that you fine-tune your spiritual hearing when you respond to him. What do you say about that?
Yes. John 10, Jesus is the Good Shepherd chapter, where Jesus says, "My sheep know my voice, and they won't follow anyone else." And just as you and I have been talking on the show, I'm learning your voice in minutes. When we practice listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God the Father, Jesus the Son, he is God. When we reject him, we are rejecting God. And we pray all the time that he leads us, and then we reject his voice. The more we practice, the more we do what he says, the more we hear him speak. He's talking all the time. And if we don't think so, it's because I'm not listening.
That's right.
He has an opinion about everything. Hmm. I was running into a grocery store the other day, and as I passed through the open doors, I hear him say, "I want you to pray for them, all of them, everyone in the store." And I have 6 minutes to go grocery shopping, and okay. And so I square the outer aisles of the grocery store, and I pray for everyone in the store. And I'm literally almost running, pushing my car, going through produce, and now I don't have a list because I didn't know I was coming, and so I got to go up and down every aisle, see it, remember, throw it in. And clearly somebody else was doing exactly the same thing. We kept meeting each other in the middle of the aisles, and knowing glances, yeah, you forgot your list too, turned into smiles and then silly comments, and yeah, you know, there's mangoes are on sale, and I saved some for you. And very quickly, I finished my shopping. And I went to the shortest line, and I was aware that this woman started to pass behind me. She backed up, and she looked right at my face. I looked right at her. Do I know you? Nope. And then she tried to speak, her eyes filled with tears, and she said, "I just think you need to know this. Every time I was close to you today, I felt safe and I felt loved. I just think you needed to know that." And there in the grocery store, two total strangers embraced. And what she was trying to say is, "I feel the love of God the Father through you. I just don't know him yet, but I'm looking because I felt him in somebody who carries his presence." When you and I are present in his presence, when we understand we carry the Spirit of the living God in us, we can release him everywhere and watch his presence go out and transform the environments around us.
Yeah.
Each one of us can do that every minute of every day. All we need to do is just be present and ask him and then do what he says.
Yep. Ask him and do what he says. You've got so many great stories in this book, and I want you to tell these back-to-back stories. One is about a horse that came in with a wound on her shoulder. You named her Alula. Tell us Alula's story.
Oh, my goodness. This is a long story. We rescue horses. Our ranch, we've rescued over 300 horses in the past 24 years of our ministry, and then we pair these horses with children in need for free. We see about 5,000 visitors a year because everyone can afford free. It's awesome. And so we rescue a lot of horses. This horse, her rescue, she was badly wounded. Her owner was elderly. He loved her. One evening, he didn't come in for dinner. They looked and looked for him. They found that he had passed away of natural causes in her corral. And she saw him die, and she was standing over his body, protecting him, and just grieving. Horses have all the same emotions that people do. And the family in their distraught season just called us and said, "Just take her. We don't know what to do with her. She's badly hurt. Just take her." And so we brought home this grieving horse. Once again, pray, listen, do. I'm asking God, I need to buy frames. The Lord says, go to Goodwill. So I go to Goodwill. I'm shopping for picture frames. I throw them in my basket. I start to go to the only checkout that's open. And the Lord said, "No, not yet." And so I back up and I shop some more. I try again for a second time. The Holy Spirit says, "No, not yet." Now I'm doing the hot and cold game of over here, over there. What am I doing in Goodwill? Finally, I find one more thing, and I start to approach the only checkout line that's open. And I hear the young woman tell the man she's serving, "Oh, I don't know how to do this transaction. I need to call for help." She calls for help, and help comes cutting in front of me, this short, beautiful, fiery red-haired woman with laser blue eyes, and she is furious. And she cuts into the line, and she pounds open the register, and she doesn't even look at me, and she says, "Did you find everything you need?" And I, yes. And so I told her I actually found more than what I need. I'm doing a speaking tour in a warm climate and found things I didn't even know I need. "Oh, that's great. What do you speak on?" And I said, "Well, I get to speak about hope." And I just shared a little sketch of the ranch and the ranch ministry. And, "Oh, that's great." And she hasn't even looked at me yet. And then this woman rocks back on her heels and starts to yell in my face, "I'm so glad that you talk to people about hope because I'm sick and tired. Nobody takes responsibility for anything anymore, and I'm sick of it. She's shouting in my face. And I'm like, "Lord, what do you want me to do with that?" And God is so funny. Just like a bell on a cold morning, I could hear this reverberation in my chest. "I want you to point blank her with what I've done for you." And I got to be honest, my first response is, "Abort, abort, she's mad, she's not going to hear it, the guy behind me is mad, everybody's mad. God, it's a bad time, she's not going to hear it." "Okay, Lord, I'm going in." And I look at her blue smock and her little name tag, and her name was Angel. And I said, "Angel, honey, you're right. I'm so grateful that I get to talk to people about hope. Hope is so vitally important to human life that I remember not only the day, but the moment that genuine hope came in. And that's the day that my dad murdered my mom and took his own life. And that's the day that the author of hope came into my heart, Jesus Christ. and he's been there ever since. And Susie, she just took this huge breath of, and her shoulders went up to her ears. Her gaze went straight to the floor. She looked like I had shot her with an arrow. She didn't move. She didn't breathe. And finally, this long exhale, her eyes start to raise. They're flooding with tears. The young woman who just screamed in my face starts to speak in this tiny little girl voice. And she said, I've never told this to anybody. When I was 12, my mom killed herself right in front of me. Mm. And Susie, all I did was just open my arms. And this hug is for you. And that life ring of hope was so vital. She didn't even go around the counter. She put her knees up on the counter and lunged into the neck of a total stranger.
Oh, my goodness.
And right there in the checkout line of a Goodwill store in a rural town, one former orphan got to introduce another orphan to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you want to know how to pour out the love of Jesus, you pray, you listen, and you just do what he says, and he will do the rest. John 4:23-24, Jesus says that God is spirit, and he's looking for anybody who will worship him in spirit and in truth, in part by listening to the voice of his Holy Spirit while standing on the truth of his word, because those two always go together. And when we do that, everything changes, because that's a heart that God can lead.
Can I get an amen, friends? Wow. This is a prayer from Encountering Our Wild God before we go to break. Kim writes, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that I wasn't created to live in my pain. I was created to live in your presence. I understand that my pain, when given completely to you, has a powerful purpose that gives you glory. I also understand that my pain, when kept in the dungeon of my soul, has an equally powerful purpose that steals your glory. In this moment, Holy Spirit, show me every painful thing that still resides in my heart. Reveal all that I haven't fully surrendered to you. Now, before you, I name them all. In this moment, remove my pain, precious Lord, and fill the void with your presence. Take what the enemy meant to destroy me with and transform it into the very thing that will give the suffering souls around me life, your life. Jesus, heal my eyes. Help me see my past as you see it, a strategic, beautiful, fiery forge that created within me your loving and powerful weapons of war. Help me know that as hard as my past has been, it's what you've used to develop within me, your power to reach the lost with your saving grace. And that's pain worth enduring. Fully armed with your heart, overflowing with your healing love, lead me out into this world. Right now, I raise the banner of pray, listen, do over every minute of my life. On this day, I choose to forever embrace the wild simplicity that is you, Lord. Amen. This is what I want. I hope you get this if you listen every day, is for you to be so fully restored that you are mobilized into this world, just as Kim is talking about. We're going to pause here. I'm talking to Kim Meter. Title of her book is Encountering Our Wild God, Ways to Experience His Untamable Presence Every Day. I'm asked for, actually, I just heard from the publicist. She says, how many copies do you need? Yay! So we're giving away a good stack of copies of this amazing book. If you need a personal revival, love to get a copy in your hands. So email to get in the drawing, middays@myfaithradio.com, or text 877-933-2484. More with Kim Meter in a moment. Yes, thank you so much for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson, having an earth-shaking conversation with Kim Meter, who wrote the book Encountering Our Wild God, Ways to Experience His Untamable Presence Every Day. We've got 8 copies to give away. That's more like it, wouldn't you say? You can email middays@myfaithradio.com or text 877-933-2484. You know, we've done a live event with where we have a live studio audience of about 150 and do an actual recording of a show, Kim, and I'm going to pray that we can bring you in someday, because our listeners would wrap you right up, and I would love to have you. We'll talk about that later, but let's talk about this for a moment. Talk about spiritual opposition. I didn't get to this point in the book, but I saw it in your press kit where you had an encounter with a mountain lion in Colorado, and you wrote that it turned and morphed into kind of a spiritual battle. Can you tell us about that?
Oh, my goodness. This is a huge story, and I know that we just have minutes, and maybe that'll be the in-studio audience encounter. I had been walking in the wilderness, hiking, where I spend a lot of time because that is my church, and it's where I know God and where I can hear his voice. And I love shed hunting. There's only one species in the world that sheds antlers, moose, elk, and deer. And to walk to the place in the vast wilderness where that experience happens is so rare that every time I find an antler, it is God saying, whatever you're grappling with, whatever you're pondering, whatever you're praying over, I've got that. And here's my covenant with you. I've got it. You can trust me. And so as I was walking on this mountainside, and I'm going to condense this down super short, I actually found an elk antler. And it was the first one that I had ever found at that time. It was a really small 5-point, maybe 28, 9 inches, 30 inches, just a little one. And elk travel 20 miles a day to find a set. Rarely happens. And I found the other one very close to it. And so I'm holding both of these elk antlers and just praising God. And, oh, my goodness, Lord, you're so good to me. Oh, what are you trying to say? And, Susie, what happened next is really hard to explain. It was like walking under a waterfall of imagery and verses and sound and sight. And I could hear the voice of my God shouting, I am so angry. The enemy is moving into my land. He's attacking my people, and he's killing my children. And I am finished with his attacks. I'm calling those who are mine, who call themselves by my son's beautiful name, to take back the land that my son gave his life to free. Rise up, my people, and take it back. And this crush of imagery and battles and rearing horses and sparks and swords and shields and verses and eagles. And I'm walking, and all of a sudden I hear a roar that I actually felt even more than I heard. And it was a single word, and it was just this, look! And I felt like I'd been electrocuted. I just stood straight up, and as I'm walking alone up this very steep ravine, I can see at my almost 3 o'clock, 9 o'clock, it was on my left, a bush snow earlier had bent over in half, and right underneath it was a mountain lion in full crouch. I'm going to attack you and kill you.
Wow.
And my first thought was, I just came from the airport. I mean, I'm walking in airport shoes. I don't even have any weapons. Lord, I have nothing. And he said, yes, you do. Raise up the weapons of war that I've given you and fight. And it's like, oh, the antlers. And so I raise them up over my head. When you encounter mountain lions, you have to make yourself visually as large as possible, maintain direct, fierce eye contact, and you can't back up. That's what my grandpa taught me.
Wow.
And I'm holding these antlers over my head and looking into this mountain lion's face. I hiss at it. I see you. And it hisses back, and I see you, and I'm going to kill you. And I move quickly to the uphill. It whips around. We're 10 feet apart, and its eyes are so dilated with excitement for the kill that they're totally black with the narrowest band of gold. And now, I mean, it feels like days have gone by. I'm engaged with a mountain lion face to face, and I can't back up. I don't even know what to do. And that was my prayer. God, I don't know what to do. And this shout, fight, fight, attack, attack. And so I take two huge jumps at this mountain lion with 10 antler tines pointed at its face. And guess what it did? Absolutely nothing. It called my bluff. We are 3 feet apart. All it did was get closer to the ground in a greater position of attack. We're 3 feet apart, and it's like the scene suddenly shifted, and I'm looking into the black eyes of sin that stalks this life and hearing it say, you've always known that I've been here. You've just never seen my face until today. You know that I'm here. You're not really going to drive me out. You like it that I'm here. You are going to do what you always do, and that's pretend like I don't exist. And then you're going to turn your back and walk away, and I'm going to kill you. And Susie, it made me so mad. And I could just hear this volcanic word come through my throat, and I just shouted, liar, and jumped with these antler tines poised at its eyes. I'm going to go right through your skull. And the mountain lion slipped to the side. I plunged all the way into the ground with my fists, and it ran down the hill. And I pulled him back out in a reload. It's now bounding down the hill. Its tail is circling. I'm standing on this hill. My hands are shaking. My knees are shaking. I can't believe that just happened. God, oh my goodness. And what I could hear the Lord say is, I'm calling everyone who calls themselves by my son's name to stand up and fight and take back the land. Take back the land of your heart. Take back the land of your home. Take back the land of your community with the power of my love. What have you allowed in your heart that comes in between you and me? Are you willing to drive that out? Do it now. What has come into your home that is crushing your family and your relationship with your husband, your relationship with your kids, all of your relationship with me? Are you willing to drive that out? What's coming in through the television, the internet, through movies, through music, through friends, through people? Are you willing to drive that out? All the sexualized witchcraft that's on television and in movies, and the super series that everybody's watching right now. It is kid package witchcraft, and you know it. Parents, that's on you. What your kids don't need is a parent that says, I want to be your friend. It's okay, let's be peers. They need a parent that loves them enough to say, not on my watch. I risk you being mad at me for a few minutes to create a safe place for you to grow in your hope in Jesus Christ. When you get old and have your own place, you can watch whatever you want. But today, I want you to know the love of Jesus, and I will stand in that fire to protect your life. Are you driving the enemy out of your community with the power of Jesus' love? This is what he is calling from each one of us. Take back the land of your heart. Take back the land of your home. Take back the land of your community with the love that has been entrusted to you. People, it's time.
Psalm 37:10 says, in a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully for his place, he will not be there. The humble will inherit the land and delight themselves in an abundance of peace. And when you start to picture the land that the enemy has occupied, and you push him off by enforcing the authority God has given, and you look for him, you don't just look for him, but you look carefully for him, and he's not there, the thorns and thickets are gone, and you've reoccupied the land. I mean, Kim, that's God, that's part of our inheritance as kingdom people.
Right.
We put up with way too much with that enemy, don't we?
Right. Right. And wow. As parents, we are called to maintain purity, visual, physical, emotional, spiritual purity in our heart and where we are raising our children, our family, and our friends. That's on you and I. If we call ourselves a Christian, a little Christ, that is incumbent on you and on me. Are we doing that? And if we're not, time to start right now. Take it back.
Kim, this time has flown right by, and we've got more texts than I can count, more emails than I can count. I pray you'll come back. Thank you for your commitment to the Lord and for your time today. We sure appreciate you.
Thank you, Susie. God bless you and be with you.
And you as well. Still time to get in on the drawing. Kim Meter's book is titled Encountering Our Wild God. Hey, if this didn't fan your flame, I might say that your wood is wet. Just wondering about that. Because God wants so much to spark a revival that we could be everything he intended us to be. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this Middays with Susie Larson podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of Middays with Susie Larson.